The 20-year war in Afghanistan is over, but how long will the political fallout last? Our political strategists join us to talk about that and more. Bill Press is our Democrat, Alice Stewart, our Republican. Hi to you both.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott. Good to be with you.
Good to have you both. Now, yesterday, the president spoke about Afghanistan. Let's take a quick listen. He was clearly defiant, unrepentant.
What have we lost as a consequence in terms of opportunities? I refuse to continue the war that was no longer in the service of the vital national interest of our people.
No, he took no questions. So, Bill, what is the point, you think, of this tone? Is the president trying to draft his version of this history and hoping it sticks?
I think the president is trying to make the point that he is a president who promised to end the war in Afghanistan and did. Plain and simple. Obama promised it, did not. Trump promised it, did not. Biden promised it and did. And I think the political consequence will be, I mean, look, it's easy to nitpick. It's easy to criticize the things that went wrong. But I think what history will remember and what Biden will be remembered for is, one, he ended America's longest war, which has done nothing but drain American taxpayers and enrich defense contractors for 20 years, accomplished nothing. And two, he oversaw the largest and most successful human airlift in history. 122,000 people brought out of Afghanistan in the last weeks. That's Biden's point. It's done. It's over. This is good for America.
Alice, how do you think those on the right will remember or frame this history?
I think those on the right are joined by many on the left who view the president's actions as defiant yesterday, but also dishonest over the last several weeks. And look, it has been without a doubt, he has lost the trust and confidence of people, not just in our country, but across the world. He said from the beginning, the buck stops with me, yet he blames everyone else, including the former president and the people of Afghanistan. He made a promise to the Taliban to get out by August 31st and kept that promise, yet broke his promise to Americans in Afghanistan to have troops on the ground to help them evacuate. I see this long term as a tremendous political liability to President Biden. But unfortunately, the beauty of American exceptionalism is the collateral damage. Our allies across the world don't have our backs. They don't trust us. And we have Taliban members, terrorists, shooting off fireworks as American troops leave the region. And that is a stain on America. And unfortunately, it falls right at the feet of President Biden.
Now, Alice, just staying with you, will this criticism from many on the right be hard to stick here after the framework of this deal with the Taliban was initially struck by the Trump administration and Mike Pompeo?
Sure. And Scott, look, I think we can all agree that, yes, we did need to leave Afghanistan. We needed to withdraw our troops from the region. And yes, former President Trump did have conversations about doing so, but they were all conditions-based. This was not about a date certain and withdrawal without looking at what the Taliban was doing. There were conditions on the ground that needed to be met, and the former president was ready to withhold pulling out our troops if those conditions were not met. And for this current president to withdraw troops without a plan already in place to evacuate safely not just Americans in Afghanistan, but our allies in the region and our valuable intelligence and our equipment on the ground is a tremendous mistake. Look, let me be crystal clear. We did need to end the war in Afghanistan, but we needed to have a better plan for how we went about ending it. But the most important thing, right, I think, is what Secretary Austin is saying. We need to honor and thank our troops that tremendously and heroically served in this war.
Okay, Scott, now, Bill, on the topic of... Yes, Bill, go ahead.
No, very, very quickly. I just have to jump in because this is the second time I've heard Alice say that Trump's plan was really good, all kinds of conditions. I've done a lot of reporting on this. That is simply not true. The Trump plan would have had us out by, which was made a deal with the Taliban in February 2020, would have had us out by May 31. There were no conditions. There was no involvement of the Afghan government. What was agreed was that the the U.S. would get the Afghan government to free 5,000 prisoners, many of them former Taliban fighters who then went out and attacked the Afghan government and the U.S. military. It was a rotten deal. Joe Biden had no choice but to expand the war and stay or to get out. Donald Trump wanted to get out, too. And I think he made the right choice. And for Republicans who criticize today, I think they've got the same choice. You either accept the end of the war or say you want to get back in. Nobody wants to get back into Afghanistan. The war is done. America's better off because of it.
All right. Now, before we move on, very quickly to both of you, will this be a lasting election issue 14 months from now in the midterms and beyond or no? Bill?
I really don't think so. That's over a year away. I think by that time we'll be talking, you know, infrastructure, drug prices, COVID, and celebrating the fact that the war in Iraq is over.
Yeah. How about you, Alice?
I see. You look at the poll numbers just over the past month. 1 month ago, before this, the president had approval rating of 48%. It has gone down now to 45%. His disapproval ratings have gone up nearly 6 points in the last month. And this is more than just a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. This is about lying to the American people and people across the world. And this is a president who campaigned and won on his foreign policy gravitas and national security bona fides. And in his biggest test to date, it has been a tremendous failure. And we've lost 13 American heroes as a result.
Okay.
I don't know where he lied.
Let's move on.
He said he was going to end the war, and he ended the war, period.
Okay. Issue two, as somebody once said. Moving on to voting rules in Texas. Last night in Austin, lawmakers passed new voting restrictions, limiting times for early voting and banning drive-through voting, among other items. Alice, this was a marathon political fight in Austin. How big a win is this for Texas Republicans and nationwide Republicans?
I think that the key to remember is that this is about making sure that our elections are free and fair, and that we cut down and reduce on the incidents where there can be people voting in a regular fashion. And I applaud Republicans, not just in Texas, but in many states across the country, who are working to preserve the election integrity and make sure that every person in every state has the right to a free and fair vote in this country.
Now, Bill, as Alice mentions, this is not just Texas, right? We have other battleground states that have done something similar here, Florida, Arizona, Georgia. What might the electoral impact be here?
Well, first of all, with all due respect, this is the exact opposite of how Alice paints it. This is an attempt by Texan and 18 other states, Scott, to your point, of making it harder to vote based on zero evidence of voter fraud. It'll make it harder for people to vote, especially blacks and Hispanics in Texas. And this is, as you point out, part of a national movement. 18 states so far have passed this year over 30 bills making it more difficult to vote, reducing early voting, getting rid of absentee ballots or mail-by-vote or whatever, making it more difficult to vote. It's going to have, I think, a very negative impact on the next election, unless the Supreme Court jumps in.
Okay, Bill, very quickly.
I think it's important, Scott. If I may say, the states are elections are run state by state, and state legislatures should have the authority to determine the laws that apply to election process, and we should not do what the Democrats want, which is to federalize the elections. That is the last thing we need to do with regard to the voting process.
Right, and there is, of course,
anybody
a separate Capitol Hill.
That the more people who vote, the better. That's what America is all about. Don't restrict people's right to vote.
All right, quickly to California, our last issue here. Early voting has begun, and whether to recall the governor, Democrat Gavin Newsom, he's been hammered for his response to COVID and for the state lockdowns. Bill, you're a former head of the California Democratic Party. Are Democrats worried that Newsom might be recalled?
I'll tell you what Democrats are worried about. The quick answer is yes. They're worried that Democrats will sit back and not realize how important this is and not get out to vote. It all depends, the outcome of this recall, on turnout. But first of all, as a California voter, also, Scott, I have already voted. I voted against the recall. And I did not vote for any one of the 46 other candidates who
it's quite a list,
take his place, because I don't think any of them are qualified. But very, very quickly, what this is all about, The Republican Party in California is basically moribund. They represent only 24% of the people. They haven't elected a statewide candidate since 1992. They can't win fair and square statewide, so they've used this recall to try to get a Republican in as governor. Mm-hmm. I think it's essentially undemocratic. Gavin Newsom needs to get 50.1% to stay in office. The person who replaces him could get 10% of the vote and stay in office. But there it is. It's legal. It's out there. And if Democrats turn out, Gavin Newsom will be okay.
Okay, Alice, you got 30 seconds. Your thoughts?
Well, clearly, this whole recall effort would not have even happened in the first place if Newsom had been an accountable governor. And the fact that he botched the response to COVID and closed down businesses and schools and churches in an unnecessary fashion and then rubbed his nose in people's face in terms of going out to eat at an exclusive restaurant when he was shutting them down. He doesn't have the will of the people, and this will be close, but I think it's a good opportunity for Republicans.
Okay, that is Alice Stewart, our Republican strategist at Here and Now, and Bill Press, Here and Now's Democratic strategist. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Alice.